Welcome back to season two of the Ivy League Prep Academy podcast, equipping you to successfully pursue the college of your dreams. We believe everyone deserves to reach their full potential, and the admissions process shouldn't hold you back.
As juniors around the United States and around the world are stressing about upcoming AP exams and final exams for all of their classes, parents are beginning to wonder if something might have slipped through the cracks. For those of you who are juniors or you know a junior this year, I want to record this podcast to help you do kind of an activity slash application audit. Let's do a holistic review of your college application that's coming up and make sure that if there are gaps to be filled, that you know what those gaps are now rather than waiting until it's time to apply, rather than waiting until you're actually filling out your application and you don't have time to fill those gaps anymore. Now, obviously, if you're a sophomore or a freshman or even younger, then this is going to be really helpful for you because you have a little bit longer runway for you to fill these gaps. You'll want to do the same exercise, but I know for families with juniors, this is a really stressful thing. And so let's get straight to it. The Common Application is not available to you yet, and it won't be available until the 1st of August. And so up until then, a lot of families kind of feel like they're in limbo, like we don't know what's coming. Let me tell you what's coming. All right, when you fill out that application, there are only a few places where you can tell your story. And before I tell you what's on the Common Application, let me tell you how most admissions officers are going to interpret the things that are on that application so that you can make sense of all of the different pieces and how they fit together. Now, I should give the disclaimer that different colleges have different institutional priorities. There are some schools that only care about your academic performance, and they don't really care about the rest of this stuff. They're very data-driven, and that's how they make their choices. But the more selective the school is that you're hoping to get into, the more likely they are to care about the other stuff, all right? And so what's that other stuff? The big mistake that most high school students and their families make is they believe that admissions officers are trying to figure out who the most impressive applicants are. And they're reading through the applications to see which one is more impressive than the rest so that they can admit the most impressive students and reject the less impressive students. But that's not at all what's happening. In fact, admissions officers are trying to shape the class. They're trying to create a nice, rich, diverse group of students who can work together for 4 years and get along and help each other and push each other to be better than they could have been otherwise. And then after 4 years of getting along and doing great things and doing research and doing amazing work in the school classroom settings, they want this class to graduate and go out and make the world a better place. They're hoping to find future best-selling authors and future CEOs and company starters and business leaders and leaders of society and government and everything else. All right. So they're trying to find the people that are going to make the world a better place. That's what they're trying to do. Now, often these people who they believe are going to go out and make the world a better place are often really impressive high school students, and they did impressive things. So it can be easy to misunderstand the goals of the admissions officer. But they are not trying to figure out who's the hardest working of all of these applicants. Who is the best multitasker? Who's the most impressive? Who's the smartest? Who's the best of the best of the best? That's not really the calculus that's going on in their heads. They're trying to figure out how you fit into the class that they are shaping, into that ecosystem. And if you have listened to my podcast, you have probably heard about the impressiveness trap. The impressiveness trap comes about because people believe that admissions officers are looking for the most impressive students. And then they ask what's most impressive to an admissions officer, and they spend all of their time trying to do the most impressive things. But it turns out that everyone kind of has the same idea about what's more impressive than something else. And when you're stuck inside the artificial confines of a high school environment, then there's only so many ways that you can be impressive. You can get better grades, you can be on more clubs, you can be the president of the clubs or the founder of the clubs, and you can be the captain of the team. You can be on more teams. You can be in more musical, whatever. And of course, this leads to people taking really rigorous classes and then filling the rest of their schedule that they don't have, time that they don't have, with activities that they feel like demonstrate how hard they work, how much they can multitask, or how amazing and awesome and great and impressive they are. All right, but if everyone is racing to see who can squeeze more into their already overscheduled calendar, and if everyone's trying to be more and more and more and more impressive, then it doesn't take long before this is a really unhealthy activity and college prep becomes desperation, right? It becomes total anxiety, complete desperation, and there's nothing helpful once it gets to that stage. So let's not buy into that myth. That is not what admissions officers are doing. They're not trying to figure out who's the most impressive among the impressive. They're trying to figure out how you fit into the class that they are shaping. And if you spend all of your time trying to be the most impressive, you probably don't have time to be curious. You probably don't have time to figure out what your core values are. And so you're going to have a really hard time explaining to the admissions officer who you are and where you might fit into that ecosystem that they're trying to shape, into the class that they're working to shape. All right, so what do we do instead? You want to think about your college application as an opportunity to answer two big questions. The admissions officers are already trying to answer these questions through your application. So if you're aware of that, you can do a better job at helping them answer those questions. All right, the first question is, who are you? And that means, what is your character like? What is your personality? What are you curious about? What are you interested in? What things do you do really, really well? What are those things that make you different from other people around you? What are the things that make you you, that define you? And the best way to answer that question is to clarify for yourself, what are your core values? What are the things that are most important to you? And then clarify what you're curious about. What are those activities or what are those ideas? What are those subjects that really hold your interest for a long time? And if you're able to answer these questions with honesty, then you are way ahead of the pack. Most high school students spend all of high school trying to fit in. They do not spend all of high school trying to figure out their core values and live their lives in a way that's more aligned with those core values. So most high school students do not do this self-discovery work. And if you have done it so that you can answer these questions for the college admissions officers, then you're way ahead in life, all right? You're at a huge advantage because you're going to be far more confident when you start doing things that align with your core values. You don't have to spend all of your time and energy trying to look around yourself to figure out what to do in order to fit in. You're not worried about fitting in. You're worried about living your core values. Very, very different approach. So that's the first thing the admissions officers are trying to figure out. Who is this person? Who is this candidate? The second thing that they want to figure out so that they can figure out where you fit into the class that they're shaping is, why does it matter? Okay, who are you and why does that matter, right? And what that means is, what is your mission? Like, how is your community a better place because you are you and you are a part of this community? So if I can understand who you are, your character, your personality, your interests, your strengths, and everything else, and then you show me evidence that your community is a better place because you are you, your world is a better place because you exist inside this world, then I know how you might fit on this college campus. I have a picture in my mind of where you would fit in on the campus and how you would make the campus a better place. That's a bonus, right? That's what admissions officers are trying to figure out as they read your application. So, how do you answer this question? Well, you only have a few opportunities. Number one, you clarify that academically, you don't disqualify yourself through your transcripts, through your test scores. Okay, that's pretty obvious. Outside of that, all you have is an activities section, an awards/honors section, letters of recommendation, and you have some essays. You do have a final essay that's like a wild card, like what else, what other information would you like us to know about you? So you kind of have a special essay there as well, but that's it. You have an awards section, an activities section, letters of recommendation, and some essays. Those are the things that you can use to tell the admissions officers who you are and why that matters, why they should care that you are who you say you are. So let's think about each of these sections. Number one, the activities section. You will have 10 lines there, 10 activities that you can describe, and just a few characters for each of them. So think about maybe one long sentence or two normal/short sentences to describe each of the 10 activities. There will be a drop-down box that you tick that says, did you do this activity in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade? And you tick however many apply. There is no option for before 9th grade. So that's the first thing, 10 activities. So right now, write down all of the activities in the order that you would list them on your college application. Which of your activities, the ways that you spend your time, now this is school activities, out of school activities, volunteering, clubs, sports, internships, absolutely everything that you do outside of schoolwork, those are your activities. So go ahead and write them down. Which activities do you do that you would choose to be the 7 to 10 activities you would want to highlight on your application to answer those two questions? Who are you and why does it matter? Okay, so that's the first thing to do. And if you feel like, man, my activities do not represent who I am or why that matters, then you've got the first hole in your future application. This audit has already shown to be very, very valuable for you. You need to go and do something that aligns with your core values, that aligns with who you are, so that you can demonstrate through your activities who you are and why that matters. The next section is the awards. You only have room for 5 awards or honors or distinctions. You can choose what you put there, but you only have 5. And so what awards do you have? If you just have random awards that do not have anything to do with who you are and why that matters, then that might still be valuable to put there, especially if they demonstrate academic success in some way, because academics are also really, really important. But you want to have some kind of recognition, awards, honors, some kind of recognition that aligns with the answers to your question. Who are you? And why does it matter? Right? Because those awards and the honors, the recognition, they provide evidence that reinforces that what you're saying about yourself is actually true. It's not just you saying it, it's actually the truth. Okay, I've already talked in length about the essays, and we'll talk about them again soon. But the biggest mistake that people make in their essays is just trying so hard to impress the admissions officers. And it's okay to impress the admissions officers in your application essays, but you should impress them through your thoughtfulness, through your insightfulness, your insight, right? And your reflectiveness, your self-awareness. The best essays are the essays that make the admissions officer think, wow, I never thought of it that way. I never saw it that way before. That's really interesting. And the essays that they see the most, by far, are essays about how impressive a student is. Okay, so if you want to get out of the boring essay pile and into the, wow, I never saw the world this way before pile, the, wow, this is a really interesting kid. I want to take this person to lunch. I want to get to know them. That's the pile you want to be in, and your essays should reflect that. Okay, so what do you do? How do you impress the admissions officers if you don't impress them in your essays? That's what your letters of recommendation are for. And if you do not communicate really, really clearly to your recommendation letter writers, you know, the answers to these two questions, who are you and why does it matter? Then the answers to those questions are not going to show up in your letter of recommendation. I can tell you this with near certainty. All right. I have written too many letters of recommendation to count, really. Over the course of my time in high school, I was a popular recommendation letter writer. I constantly was asked to write so many letters. And then when I was a counselor, I read even more letters. School teachers never get training on how to write these letters. School teachers just are writing the letters in between meals. They're staying up late and waking up early to write these letters. They get no extra prep time. They get no extra pay. They get nothing in return for all the letters of recommendation that they are writing. And frankly, they don't know how to write good letters, even if they want to. Almost all the letters sound the same, and they talk about how you're always prepared for class and you help your classmates and they're so glad you're in class. And whichever school is lucky enough to have you will, you know, be so lucky, right? And so every single letter of recommendation sounds the same. You want to use those letters of recommendation to highlight who you are and why that matters. And that's going to require specific conversations with your recommendation letter writers. All right, so that is the holistic college application preview, right? If you want to look at, if you want to do an audit right now, what's missing in your activities, your awards, your letters of recommendation, your future essays, you want to start keeping track now of those moments that are more insightful that can lead to great essay topics, use my essay guide, the essay journal that is for free. You can find that in several of my previous podcasts about the essays. You can also find it on my website in the resources page at theivyleaguechallenge.com. And the letters of recommendation, I go through the step-by-step process of how to train your recommendation letter writers in a previous podcast as well. That is also at theivyleaguechallenge.com. And that is, you'll find that in the index, right, with all the other podcasts at how to get outstanding letters of recommendation or something like that. All right. This audit is in addition to that. And so you can take a look at all of the activities and the ways that you have spent your time, the honors that you have, the letters of recommendation that are coming and the essays that you're preparing to write, and make sure that all of those things come together to clarify a clear theme, an application persona, a story of who you are and why that matters. And if you'd like help with that, and you're a rising senior, so you're a junior this year, wrapping up your finals, I will do a boot camp this summer, probably in late July, early August. I'm working out the final details of the timing there, but be sure to reach out to me if you want to join that boot camp, because we'll be meeting every single day and you'll want to prepare ahead. We'll be filling in and getting all this work done, everything that we do in this audit and more, much, much more, right? Because we help the teens find their core values. We help you clarify those core values in many, many different ways in your application. And that just does such wonders to help the admissions officers know who you are and where you might fit. And then we also help you with what we call the Impact Project, which is the evidence, right? Where do you get these honors and awards and recognition from all kinds of places, even from media or from any number of other places? How do you get these awards? How do you get these honors? How do you get this recognition? Well, you make a meaningful impact in a meaningful way, and you let the right people know about it. And so we talk about all of that in the Ivy League Challenge. We will have a boot camp this summer, only for seniors. For the rest of you, you'll need to wait until next fall. We are currently running the last three cohorts of this school year. One is finishing up soon, another one in a couple of weeks, and then the last one right before the end of the school year. And then I'll have the boot camp during the summer, and it will be fall before we have a regular cohort. So in the meantime, listen to these podcasts. They're absolutely full of the gems that you need, and we'll see you in the fall. Music for this episode came from We Are Here by Declare P. I'm Steve Gardner. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thanks for listening.